This is the Uncle Talk Show. You're listening to Mr. Mad Design and The Uncle Talk Show.
Real talk.
Don't let the deter you from your vision. It's your vision that you want.
This is the Unconcealed Talk Show.
You ready?
No, I got it.
You know what? People like realness. They can speak the rules when anybody is not being themselves.
The Unconcealed Talk Show.
Use your platform wisely because it's going to be a reflection of who you are and those around you.
It's unapologetic. I can only speak from my own experience. I can't speak from anybody else's.
This is the Unconcealed Talk Show.
They're going to remember how you came in and how you left. A lot of times that applies to regular life and business.
The Unconcealed Talk Show.
From a real life perspective. And don't just see you. Either people won't like it or they won't. And even the people that don't like it are still going to check it out. Because I'm telling you, half the people that follow me, they only like my ass. But that's okay. Keep talking with me. You know?
You're listening to one of New York's top syndicated shows, The Unconcealed Talk Show, featuring Mr. Nass and Diamond D.
We'll raise this wounded world into a wondrous one. We will rise from the golden hills of the west. We will rise from the windswept northeast where our forefathers first realized revolution. We will rise from the lake rim cities of the midwestern states. We will rise from the sun-baked south. We will rebuild, reconcile, and recover in every known nook of our nation, in every corner called our country. Our people, diverse and beautiful, will emerge battered and beautiful. When day comes, we step out of the shade of flame and unafraid. The new dawn blooms as we free it. For there is always light if only we're brave enough to see it. If only we're brave enough to be it.
Yes, yes. I want to welcome everyone to the Unconcealed Talk Show with yours truly, Mr. Nass, and of course, the one and only and most lovely Miss Diamond D. Welcome to the show.
Hey.
Oh, God. Behind the scenes, things are happening, y'all, but you know what? We will rise.
Yes.
How was your week, my dear?
Man, listen, this week right here...
Yes.
Have a renewed, my spirit has been renewed. I'm encouraged.
See, there's no talking about
it. I feel like the shackles have been taken off. I feel the little bit of responsibilities that I have with me are nothing compared to what Kamala Harris and other official leaders face. So, I'm complaining about this little bit. Nah, dead that. No more of that. No more of that. I'm inspired. I'm encouraged. Yes. And I feel good for a change. Yes. How are you? How are you?
You know what? I honestly have to repeat the same sentiments that you're talking about just the fact of just being blessed and knowing. I feel like the grown-ups are back in charge. I feel this weight, this cloud lifted over. Why should I complain? And there's so much other things going on, and just we have to work to get right. And I don't know. I'm so with you on that. I just feel like a uplifting. You know, I feel inspired. I mean, I'm with you. I'm inspired.
You have to. Anybody that does not feel inspired this week has bigger issues. They've got deeper issues. Tell everybody, we started out after the intro, you played a piece of Amanda Gorman's poem. I watched the inauguration.
Yes.
And there's lots of highlights, and I want to talk about them. I had never heard of this young woman, and I sat and I listened to her speech, and you just played a part of it. Tell everybody what you played, and then I want to talk a little bit about Amanda Gorman.
You know, all right, but I was paraphrasing. She went in just talking about the light that we have. We have to be brave enough to shine that light. She's basically saying, hey, listen, guys, we as people, we as the world have a light. We do. What we do with that light and how we use that light, we have to be brave enough to use it. In the political spectrum, she's saying that we got people in responsibility. She's alluded to, of course, our president, Joseph R. Biden, and, of course, the one and only first woman of color, Kamala Harris, salute to them. And she was saying, basically, look, they have the power. They have the light. What do we do with that level of responsibility? What we do with that level of power and that just knowing we have that ability, that resource to shine. But sometimes we, when we have certain responsibilities or we have certain positions, we don't utilize that. And when she talked that poem, and those who who may not heard the poem or seen the video, we have it on shadowworlds.com. You want to check it out. She's saying, look, we have the ability as a country and as a nation to utilize that light we have to shine. And if we utilize that power, that enlightenment to shine on everybody else can be shined upon. So that's really what I got personally from it. Some people get some other things from it, but that's what I got from it. And the name of that poem was called The Hills We Climb, I believe it is. I've never heard about this young lady until that. And when I
had never heard of her, and she was tremendous.
So inspired. Oh my God.
I was very inspired. And the piece that one of the pieces, if you go back and you actually read her poem, and that's what I had to do because I listened and I was touched, but I wanted to read the poem. And she talked about the successors of a country and a time, and this is an excerpt from it. We the successors of a country and a time where a skinny black girl descended from slaves and raised by a single mother can dream of becoming president. So that resonated with me because, again, being about empowering women and empowering our women of color and our youth, we need to place her in front of them. Not only was she raised by a single mother, she was also labeled with a learning disability of sorts. She had to go to speech therapy and other things growing up.
Right.
And she overcame all of that. And now she's got dreams and can actually look at Kamala Harris and think that her dreams of becoming president can actually come true. She plans on running in 2036. So I already know who I'm voting for that year. I really, really do.
Definitely.
And I'm tremendously proud of her.
I'm glad you brought up the fact that she had some challenges. I have my understanding she had a speech impediment, and she was able to overcome that. She talked very eloquently. She talked very strong. She talked from passion. You could tell it came from a place of heart. It just resonating. Sometimes, I know we sometimes last show we kind of got on some of our youth, but you know what? This inspires me to know, our future ain't too bad. When we have young people like, this young lady, Amanda Gorman, that presented herself, around powerful people and really came across, because of my understanding, when I watched Good Morning America, they interviewed her, Robert Roberts, and she alluded to that there's a ring. Oprah gives every poet that speaks at the inauguration of a woman of color, and Oprah gave her a ring and I believe some earrings. And just to know she has these people behind her saying, hey, listen, I see the greatness in you. And for you to acknowledge that and say that, as a black woman saying, hey, look, this is inspiring. And if you can't be inspired by what you witness and what you're seeing, then I don't know what to say for you. I mean, I want to be negative and just jump on people back right now, but you know what?
Nope.
I am just too inspired right now. I feel good. I do. I want to jump on people back.
I feel amazing.
I don't want to.
No.
I do.
No back jumping. We're uplifting, right? Because the topic, right? The uphill climb. And it is. It's an uphill climb. And if you listen again to her speech, what I also found in there was she made reference to what happened on January 6th. Read between and listen between the lines. She made reference to what happened on January 6th, and they try to tear the entire democracy down, but we won't quit. We won't be broken. And
that's right.
The fact that she was able to put this whole speech together in that short amount of time, she's so talented and gifted. And just give another round of applause for her, because she deserves it. And she's 22. 22.
Yes. And young people, listen, if you got young people, they got to listen to it. I mean, honestly, I'm going to take that poem that she did. I'm going to, get it professionally done and frame it, because I just thought it was so powerful. And like yourself, it's made me look at things a little more different. I mean, because we was living in a really dark time. I know for some people, they feel, oh, we had good times, but that's to each his own. But honestly, I believe that when you see things like that's blessing us as a country or as a world, and you know that, hey, look, we got people like this is a part of our future. We got to get behind that. We got to support it as not just black people, white people as well. Because at the end of the day, if we have positive people like this, young people who wants to move our country, our world in a progressive and more humble and loving manner, we got to get behind that. All this other bullshit about, pointing the fingers, Democrat, Republicans and black and white, we got to get beyond that. But like we said before, of course, before we can try to help get unity with everybody else, we got to get unity within ourselves as a community and as a black race. We have to get unity with ourselves. But it's amazing when we get together and we support one another for things that can happen. So, I'm inspired. I think this, the hills we climb, is just that when I came with a title, like you said before, we come with titles, come with topics. We try to make it open anywhere so you can reference it and have an empowering conversation about it. We see a hill in front of us. We acknowledge that there's something in front of us. We know that's a hill, but we know it's not going to be easy to get above it. But as you climb that hill, you're reaching certain goals and progress. It's never going to be easy. You may even fall down the hill, but you still recognize that there's something in front of you that you must achieve and go. You may not get all the way to the top, but you're making progress. And that's what this show is all about right now. You're making progress. And for those people saying, why bother? Well, you know what? You're never going to climb that hill. You're going to stay your ass in the ditch. You're always going to be sitting there looking up at the other people. You're going to not be accountable for your actions. You're going to blame other people for your bullshit while everybody else is climbing to the top. And whatever that mountain or hill that you're going, that's your own personal hill or mountain. Your hill don't got to match what somebody else's shit is doing. Your hill got to be your climb, your own personal battle. And once you climb that top of the hill, you look at the next fucking hill. Excuse my language. But you look at the next hill, you say, you know what? I'm going after that. That's the only way you see vision and goals. I mean, that's me personally. Just saying.
Right, but he angry dude today, y'all. He passionate, but you also have
I guess my turn.
He's passionate today. But when we get to the top of the hill, and before and as you approach your next hill, turn around and reach your hand out and help someone else come up the hill. That's what it's about.
Unity
and hope. And that's what, we're not going to turn this into a political show, but unity and hope is what Biden and Harris, that's what their administration, that's what their campaign, that's what they're about, bringing everyone together. So that's our challenge now, right, to have unity. And unity,
right,
we have to start within, like Nas said, within our own community. We have to focus on uniting together. There's affluent African-American people, affluent white people, less fortunate, but we're still all people. Just don't think you're too good. And don't think, better yet, don't think you're not good enough to achieve your dreams. And look
again,
look back at this inauguration. Man, listen, told y'all about my cousin Eugene Goodman. Y'all ain't want to know who Eugene was last
Yo,
week.
Yo, my man.
Fast forward,
man.
Eugene did what? He escorted Vice President Kamala Harris into the inauguration. I was like, go, cousin. Go, cousin.
You know
I was
what?
So proud of him.
That was beautiful to see. I'm inspired. I'm sorry. I'm just I'm happy.
The inauguration was popping. Like, I felt like I was at a party, and I worked that day, but I set up everything in the living room in front of the television, and that's where I was. That's where I was. I didn't see the festivities afterwards, but the morning and afternoon festivities, I definitely watched from beginning to end, and there were so many highlights. If you follow me on Facebook, I was taking pictures like I was there, Naz. I was just like, snap, snap. I was taking pictures of the television. I was, because I needed those memories. And when Kamala Harris was sworn in, I got that picture. And I might take my own picture and print it off and frame it just so that I have that authentic memory of
that moment.
I wasn't there. I can grab one offline and all of that, but I want that authentic memory of where I was and the fact that I captured that image, albeit from television, it still was my moment. And my daughter raises, we're doing a really good job, I want to say. I was trying to find another word without trying to pat us on the back, but we're making sure that my grandbaby, from a little girl, she's just 5, that she understands who she is. And, you know,
you
I'm
go.
Black and I'm proud. She's been singing that since she was 2. Mm. And she watched the inauguration. Did she know exactly
That's
what she was watching?
About.
She did not. But we had a conversation with her that morning about the importance of it. And most kids, most people, think back to when you were a child. And you're going to, you might not have known exactly what was going on, but you're going to have a memory of watching that and realize later on in life the significance of that event and that, wow, I watched that. I was there. I had on my Chucks and Pearls. So the way women, black, white, all ethnicities united in our Chucks and Pearls, that's
yes.
the type of unity
I loved
that we
it.
Need across the world.
I love
beautiful.
That. I love that. I thought that was awesome. And just to kind of piggyback what you just said, you know, about going up the hill and reaching back, I think along with life, when we climb our hills, you took the time to look at the journey. You took and you recognized it. And, you know, people that's listening right now, y'all don't understand how what Diamond just did. She just gave you a moment in life where she utilized her grandchild to be part of that moment, and not only, you know, as a black woman, she's walking up there with her daughter, with her grandchild, climbing, it's just showing progress to her granddaughter, and bookmarking that time in this timeline. Hey, listen, where was we at a part of this journey, this progress? Let's look at this. You took the time to reflect about it, and you know what? Let me tell you something. It's okay to pat yourself on the back. It is phenomenal when you're able to pat yourself on the back and recognize the greatness in yourself and your family and your grandchild. So, you know, please, by all means, be unapologetic here.
Oh, okay.
I salute you on that one. Real talk, I salute you that. No, I mean, for real, you tell me all the time, you're like, nah, we ain't apologize for nothing. But to recognize the moment and share that moment with your granddaughter, and for those who's listening, if you got great moments in life, don't apologize. And then parents, listen, never apologize for being a good parent. Never apologize for trying to encourage and teach your children, your grandchildren. Embrace all those moments, because if you don't get them back, it won't come back.
Right.
So you got to embrace those moments. And it's okay, because now you're showing your granddaughter it's okay to be great. It's okay to recognize the moment, because now you're giving her more insight when she's seeing things happen. You're like, no, hold up. My grandma taught me this. You know, I'm not going to call you grandma. I don't know what your granddaughter called you, but I'm not going to say grandma.
That's okay.
She
calls me granny, and just side conversation.
Granny.
I'm not G-mom. I'm not G-G. No, of that hip shit. No, none of that hip shit. I'm straight up granny.
I'm sorry.
For real.
You can't call me grandpa. Nah, you ain't call me no grandpa. That ain't happened. Listen,
you don't have grandchildren yet. Like, for real,
said
all that
do.
Cool shit.
Yes,
you do? That's what you
I got a grandson.
My grandson,
my daughter. No, he's not 7 years old. I can't stand you. He's not 7.
The way you talk about him, he's like old as hell.
You know what? He ain't high school yet. He's still a baby. Well, hold on, what's second grade? Whatever.
Nah.
All right, he's got the chicks. All right.
He was chin checking you a couple of months ago. I thought he was like,
you know,
15.
I'm not messing with you. No, you know what? Hold up. You, oh, God damn it.
I remember he straight punched you a few months ago. I remember that.
You know what? You know, listen, you gotta stop playing with me. My boy,
how old is he?
He's in the second grade. I think he's, what's that, six or seven. Yeah, you're right, he's seven.
Yeah.
No, but no, he called me Poppy. He calls me Poppy. I love him to death. He called me Poppy. That's the name he has.
Poppy is good. Poppy is okay. You don't. But yeah. If your next grandchild called you Grandpa, you wouldn't like that? You just Poppy? That's what all grandchildren want to call you?
No, Poppy. We run with Poppy. Hands down. Poppy is the name. Straight
every,
up.
So all of the rest of the babies got to call you Poppy? I mean, I'm Granny.
But
straight up. That's it.
No, you know what? We're gonna talk about this later. Damn it! You told me you're talking about grandpa.
All right, I'm sorry. I digress. Y'all know how I do. My ABP is bad. But, all right, so back to the inauguration. It was lit.
It was. You know,
did you watch, or were you in the field and you had to watch?
No,
back.
I was doing both. I was like yourself. I was working from home as well as watching it. And just to watch the how it was developing and watching the relationships that was developing a part of it, because there's relationships that was developed from this. And, you know, it just, again, it inspired me. It made me look at different things. It looked at my relationships, personal relationships. It made me look at, I mean, I don't know. You have, how you do things. With me, I'm very analytical. Mm-hmm. I said, well, look, how can I make this work in my relationship, whether with friends or people that I deal with? I said, you know, let me look at this. I want to reach back and help somebody. I do. I'm with you on that one. But damn it, I don't reach back and somebody's pulling me down either. So
right. No, some people got to be cut off. When you're this is true. Careful when you're climbing your hill, who you choose to help, because everybody doesn't want the help, right? Or everybody doesn't want to work as hard to get to where you are. Mm. Everyone doesn't want the help, and everyone doesn't want to work as hard. Some people just want
to
ride your coattail, and now you've got this added weight. Right, and right, so they just want to ride your coattail, and now you can't climb to where you're trying to go because they tagging on your coattail. So if the work, if they're not willing to put in the work, you can put the effort out, right? You can extend your hand. But if they're not willing to put in the work, you shove your hand back in your pocket and you keep it moving. And I've done that. I've done it in life. I've tried to help people. And if Trump don't want the help, Trump don't get the help. That's it. I put my hands back in the pocket. I can't save the world. I'm a nurturer. I want to fix everybody up. But everybody doesn't want fixing, and some people are just who they are, and they can't help it. So you just put your hands back in your pocket, and you feed them. We talked about this in For Women by Women this week. You feed those people with a long-handled spoon, right? What is a long-handled spoon?
Yes, elaborate on that one.
A magnificence. That's it. It's very simple. You know, you want to help, or you realize that this person is not worthy of being close to you. They're also not in a, where you need to be, right? They're not worthy. But they're also, you don't have to put so much energy into cutting them all the way off, because you know you're going to see them here or there. You then, like Mama told us, you feed them from a long-handled spoon. Good morning, good night, how you doing? You're courteous when you see them. That's it. You can even pray for them if you're praying, but you don't have to have everybody in your inner circle. That long-handled spoon is a peace of mind keeper. That's what it is. It's a space saver. It's so much. So think about that long-handled spoon when you are going through life's journey. Everybody doesn't have to come along with you, and everybody doesn't have to be cut all the way off. You ain't got to cuss them out. You ain't got to cuss them out and cut them off and all that. Nah, just keep them over there. That's it. Keep them over there.
I love that. I
and I didn't understand
I love
it
that.
Growing up. I was like, what's she doing with this mother's spoon?
I love that. I love it. Long-handled spoon. Let me write that down. Long-handled spoon. Definitely going to use that one.
I'm
using that one.
Yeah, feed them out of a long-handled spoon. Keep them over there.
I, I like the fact that, you know, you're explaining, because you got some women out here, whether young and old, don't understand the concept. They think in their journey or their hill that they must climb. I'm segueing this, you know, what you're saying, that their hill's got to be maybe their partner's hill, or maybe that, I'm going to say that relationship, that intimate relationship with somebody. Oh, we need to do this. I think I could change you. I think, you know, we can do this together.
Nah.
Listen, as a woman, I need you to explain that, because I know we got listeners. We got a lot of women. We got a lot of women listening. And sometimes they figure, okay, I can change him. Maybe he doesn't have that widow. I have this hill. I'm going to climb this. But I'm going to try to change him and have, bring him up, drag his ass up the hill with me. You may want to talk to him.
No, you don't want to do that. And what you don't want to do is date down or marry down. And I'm speaking from experience. And it's not to say that it all has to be financially equal. He doesn't have to make more than you or what have you, but he's got to be at the same place in life, or it's just going to be a burden. Now, if you're out to put in the work and you're up for it, by all means, go ahead. However, at this point in life, there comes a certain point in life where the dreams and aspirations need to change. And being between the 40-something, 40 and above, your dreams and aspirations at this point need to be looking at retiring, not setting off your next venture without a business plan, right? So don't think, ladies or men, that I'm saying, if he don't have enough money, it's not about that. It's about being equally yoked. It's about being equally yoked mentally and in your aspirations. So, again, I aspire to retire. That's where I'm at. How can I pay all these bills off so I can dump all my money away so that I can start to look at retirement? This is personal.
That's right.
Me opening up like I always do. If I meet somebody and then his aspiration is to go and start a new business, he wants to open up a sneaker store, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, just argument sake. Wants to open up a little store downtown anywhere. We probably will not work unless he's talking about opening up a what's the poppin' sneaker store these days? I don't know. I'm an online shopper. But is it, let's say Foot Locker. I don't even know if that's it, but let's use Foot Locker as an example.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm with you, because that means you got the bank, you got the business plan to do that. But if you're talking about starting your own little business, and I'm not knocking entrepreneurship. I'm knocking entrepreneurship without a plan and late in life without the finances to support it. So I don't want people like, No, entrepreneurship is where it's at if you have a plan, right? So I'm not climbing your hill of entrepreneurship with you if, better yet, your plan is to go downtown or get next to the man with the incense. That's a better example, right? You want to sell incense.
Wow.
Next to the man that sells incense.
Nah,
but
that's
I'm
not
over
a plan.
Here.
And a knockoff gear, too. Exactly.
Oh, yeah. And a knockoff gear, right? So that's a better example. You over here, you want to sell incense. You want to quit your job and you want to sell incense. That's what you want to do.
That's not
a plan. Problem.
No.
I can't help you climb that hill of entrepreneurship. Now, like I said, if you got that bank and you feel successful enough and you have your business plan and you want to do something real deal entrepreneurial, then I'm going to support you. We can do this together. And that's being equally yoked. There may be a woman out there that's down with the incense. There may be. But all I'm saying is make sure that your hill, and it's always the ones, when it comes to the men, oh, man, the broke ones without a plan that need the most help coming climbing the hill, they fine. They look good. They do. They are very pleasing to the eye. And they're also gifted in their conversation, in their what we call swag these days, and how to compliment a woman and win her over. So they ain't got time.
Ooh.
He ain't got nothing but time to practice this all day and to make sure he's very well groomed. They call them fuck boys. That's what they call. But that's for another conversation.
Oh.
Right there.
I like that. We're gonna have to revisit that one. We definitely gonna have to revisit that one. And I want to piggyback.
You can't bring
to
him
men.
Up.
No, I'm not gonna bring him in. I'm not gonna bring him up. But we will come back on another show. But you know, just to kind of ride on what Diamond was just saying pertaining to us, our men. You know, I agree. You know, we can disagree, but in this case right here, right now, equally yoked means a lot, as far as even from a male perspective when you're with a woman. You know, you have to be on the same page. Listen, a woman that accepts some of the things here, maybe some things financially you may not be there, she'll accept that about you. If you're equally yoked and you show aspirations and you show determination, she will support you. If you love it on her, you showing her the love and respect that she's worthy of, you making her feel like a woman, you treating her special, not just either a trophy or just passing the time. A woman will climb that hill with you. But fellas, and I say this to all my fellas listening to this show, it's okay to climb a hill with your woman. It's okay to have progress and goals and aspirations with your woman. But no woman is going to want to be with you if you don't have no aspiration business of your own. And like Diamond just said, with a plan, you know, yeah, it's a plan right. Can be derailed, it's like that. But if you're sharing your game plan, you're sharing, hey, listen, this is what I'm doing. I'm making moves. Don't just talk. Show her.
Right. That's
show
the thing.
Plan.
Don't just talk. You have to show and prove.
Exactly. Because women, let's just keep it 100, fellas. Women may mature faster than us, you know. Yeah, you know, that's a whole nother thing. You know, we could talk about Venus and all other, you know, stuff like that. But women mature faster than us. And sometimes we get stuck on our own egos.
But now we 50-something. How long? When y'all going to get it together? See, we digressing now,
you know,
right? But you're saying that women mature faster than y'all. When y'all going to get it together? Like, when do men finally get it together?
It depends on the men. It depends on the individual man. And sometimes it could be how they was raised. It could also be that how they was raised as far as the environment, as far as family. There's so many factors, I call it factors, that make a man who he is or a woman who she is. Like how you was raised may be different from how I was raised. You may have a higher level of education and maybe a more stable financial home where you didn't have to go through poverty. Whereas I did, you know, had poverty and had to struggle, and we have different approaches. But that's all part of the relationship. That's all part of communication, which I think definitely needs to be a show that we have to talk about. Communication in relationships, because some people forgot that lost art form. It's not lost, but you got to recognize it. It's something that you must have in a relationship in order to climb your respective hills and then your hills together. You got to have this level of communication. And you're right. At what point does a lot of our men mature? I don't have the answer for that, because every person is different.
But
I just don't.
We need to get some men on here to answer that for me, because men mature, women mature faster. Shit, we grow. Like, we can't get any more mature than we already are. But yet, it's still,
you know,
still have superficial men
show.
Out
you
here.
That, right? You know, you set up another
say?
Show, right? You know, you
That's
just
fine.
Set up another show. It's like the alley oop and the slam dunk. So remember, on the last show, we supposed to have had brought the four women, by women. I'm supposed to bring the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. I think
well,
that's
let's
a
talk
powerful
about that.
Conversation. That's a powerful conversation.
I think it is. It's a necessary conversation so that we can get to a better understanding. Because I'm on social media and I'm watching a lot of things go on in different groups and posts and what instantly makes a woman unattractive and vice versa. And some of the responses from the men are, oh, you got to believe in my dream. Me? Fella. What are you still dreaming about?
Oh, my God. But what about I'm sorry, Dami, but you got some women out here, well, he got to make six figures, he got to have a big, you know, I'm like, whoa, wait a minute, hold up, pump the brakes, come on, sister, come on, damn. Nah, he can't be no average Joe. What is considered average Joe? Oh, why he got to make six figures? Why can't it be a man, you know, he's making 30,000, 40,000, but he's aspiring to be better? Nah, I don't got time for that.
Wait a minute, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to laugh, but 30,000 or 40,000. But no.
See,
I
there you go. See, this is why we must have a conversation. That's why
because,
we love, damn it.
Yes.
That's why we're going to have that.
We're going to have that conversation. Sorry. I want to talk about my favorite.
Why are you laughing at the 30,000, 40,000? Why are you laughing?
I didn't laugh.
You just started laughing at the 30. So you're trying to tell Calvin that McDonald's can't date you?
Absolutely not.
No,
because now I'm helping you climb a hill. I can't come back that far to help you.
He's aspiring to be the manager of McDonald's. He has great partners.
And good for him. But he talked about equally yoked. I don't care.
He looks good to you.
No, send me a picture. I'll look at you, whatever. Because here we are. I'm at this point of my hill. I'm ready to go over it. Now, because you look good, I got to come all the way back down here on the strength of you looking good, right, to help you come all the way back to help you get somewhere to near my level. I ain't got that kind of energy.
But all right, let me ask you a question. Now, what if the man, you guys may have dated back in maybe about, I'd say 5 years. For whatever reasons, within the next 3 years, this man then went from working at McDonald's to now somehow becoming a CEO of a major corporation. I mean, and he comes and he looks at you like, listen, you know, girl, I loved you. I mean, you know, you dumped me because I told you my aspirations, but he got there. Do you regret your decision? Because now he succeeded.
No.
But you know.
No.
See,
no.
But again, that's the competition.
No.
That becomes that ride and die. You know, are you willing? And see, this is what I'm saying about the hills we climb. And how long do you, how you say, be with someone on a hill and progress in your relationship before you say, I gotta let your hand go? You're trying to help him or her, but you know, how long do you hold his hand? How long do you walk up this journey together, allegedly? You know, he's falling down a little bit more, maybe she's falling down a little bit more. At what point do we say, okay, enough? At what point?
In an intimate relationship, don't touch that muscle's hand, period. Like, don't even grab it if it's that much of a gap. No. And my girlfriends will tell you, I'm speaking from experience, don't do it, because they become a leech. It becomes draining, and you just can't bring that person up because now you still trying to do your own climbing. Again, that's that coattail, right? That's that coattail. Now, if you're talking about a child and they're not getting it at first, you keep trying because you're helping them. It's totally different. Right, you keep trying to help the child. You keep trying to help the youth. You keep trying to help those that are less fortunate than you because they just don't have the same experience, etc. But when it's coming to a relationship, something that's supposed to be intimate, don't even grab their hand if it's that much of a gap in where you are on that hill, because the shit is going to make you eventually want to stab them.
Hold on. Hold on. You can't be stabbing. See, that's domestic violence. That's the whole. You can't be stabbing, my man.
Last season I was stabbing him in the face.
Domestic violence.
I'm stabbing.
All right. So let's switch it around, young lady. Switch this around. So what if the young lady, you know, she's on top of her game, but she falls off, and this man has to sit there and carry her ass. Like, you know, I got you. But you know, he's going to work. She's not trying to do nothing. But he's still, you know. He's still trying to, you know, move up and with his career and stuff like that. But this woman's just dragging him down, making bad decisions with the money, financially.
Dump her ass because you said she's not trying. You said she's not trying, right? So,
Hold up now. Now, what if they have time together? They put in some time together, some maybe a couple
years.
Yeah,
give her a chance, but you said she's not trying. If they've got some time together and she falls off, then she needs to work to rebuild. And the same thing goes for the man. You need to work to rebuild. But if I fall off right now, and then more of a financial responsibility falls on my partner, I can't sit back and kick my heels up and be like, all right, he got that. Even if he wanted me to, I wouldn't do that. Because eventually I'm going to become a burden.
But you know that happens.
Yeah,
it happens every day.
It happens every day. It happens.
When people are, you know, especially with this COVID situation that's going on, people have lost jobs. And, And I have personal friends, you know, I have a personal friend who, you know, he was on top of his game doing what he had to do. He lost his job. And the woman that said he had his back dropped him. I mean, dropped him. But, you know, that's another conversation.
Was he trying to do something else? See, that's the point. Was he trying to make a comeback?
I agree. And it may have seemed that he's trying, and maybe not trying hard enough. And sometimes you get to see people who they really are. Are they really having your back if you're trying? You can really see that who that your partner is. And I've always believed, like my grandma said, my mom would tell me, sometimes God has a way of pulling back the curtain and allowing you to see the person you're supposed to be. Or maybe it was supposed to happen. You say, you know what? This person won't even got my back. They know what type of person I am, what I brought to the table, know my progression, know what I'm doing. I have a setback. Are they willing to come back, like you said earlier, reach back and help me, pull me up this hill with them, knowing, hey, listen, I know this person would do it for me. I mean, but that's why this topic is so open-ended, because there's a time where we have to figure out and when is it enough? When is it enough when you're going to Are you going to keep dragging this person up the hill, or are you going to reach back and this person going to pull me down, or is it worth staying? I mean, this is kind of tricky with this topic, because we can go so many different ways with this. Because how long do you wait? And then you wait too long, did you miss opportunities or miss your pleasure?
2 days.
You know what I'm saying?
2 days.
Hold up.
2 days. No.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to honestly say, I didn't realize Don Lewis was cold ass. Real talk. She's cold.
You ain't got nothing else to say? No, I'm kidding. I am very nurturing. I'm very compassionate. But I have life's experiences have made me change that I help. It has, absolutely. But it hasn't. It's hardened me because I was too soft. And with some, and again, taking kindness for weakness, because former D, right, the old Diamond is like, what? That's what you want to do? What? For real? So you want to be a record producer and you think you can make albums, make a comeback?
Right.
I got you, right? I got you. Nobody plays on vinyl anymore, but I got you. And I was
actually
support,
it's coming to come back. That's another story. It's coming back.
It is. I read that. I did read that it is making a comeback. Well, stay with my story, please. Man, I don't think my example's poor one. And here I am going to work. Here I am balancing the budget. Here I am, and here you are locked in a room trying to figure out how to make vinyl popular again. Well, how many years does this go on? And then when I say you need to do something more to not necessarily even bring in something immediate, but to prepare for the future, because if you ain't paid, don't tell me about you're going to collect Social Security, because that's A, not enough, and B, people, take this message. Social Security is not a given. That's based on how much you've earned over the years. So for those of you thinking that I don't need to participate in any other savings plans because I'm going to get Social Security, it's a government-driven program that they can take away anytime, truth be told. And if it isn't taken away, it's based on how much you've put in during your career, during your working years. So if you're not putting anything in, you are not preparing for a future for yourself, and definitely not with me. I don't want to be poor, retired poor, right? I know that lifestyles change when you retire, but I don't want to be unnecessarily retired poor. You can control your destiny to a degree. You get out of life what you put into it. And if you're not putting anything into it, no, I don't want to pull you up this hill anymore.
Damn it, you go ahead with your bad subs. Sitting there educating our listeners. That's what I'm talking about.
No, people don't want to put away for retirement. And they think, I need my money today. No, take the sacrifice and tuck some money away, even if your company matches or if they don't match. Or if you got to do it yourself, old school style, tuck something away. People go, and when they find out that they're getting this little bit of money for Social Security, they mad and they shocked and they don't have a plan, right? Because they were not educated. I'm by no means am I a financial expert, and I'm telling you, my credit score has been down, up, down, and up again, right? I'm not perfect. I live life. And so anything that Diamond ever speaks is coming from my life's experience. That said, I can't speak for anybody else. I can only offer you what I've been through and what I know. And what I know is that there's a lot of people who are out here living their dream, living their best life, and they think it's okay to only be an entertainer of sorts. And no knock to the entertainers. But even as an entertainer, you need to prepare for your future, or else you're going to be out there singing forever. And eventually, guess what? People not going to want to hear you. Times change. Prepare for your future. Climb your hill with a solidified vision of where you want to be.
Damn
and
it.
Anybody that's pulling you down, you ain't got to call. You ain't got to bring everybody up that hill with you. You don't.
You
Given that long hand,
I love it.
Phone.
I love it. I love it. And that's
you
the one. That's
make
the
me
Diamond
you.
D. That's the therapy session coming from Miss Diamond D. But,
<you know. laughs>
but nah, and you know what? When we've come up with topics, and I came with this right here, I said, why do I know she's gonna go? She's gonna just. Go, she's going to just go deep. You was in the zone. But anyway, we're getting close to that time. We're getting close to this time. Now, I know, real quick, I know we talked about bringing in the former and bi women. Is it for next week? Is the week after that? I want to make sure we let our listeners know.
That's the first week in February. First week in February. So week after
All right.
that.
Well, damn it. We're going to be sitting and recording. It's going to be coming to you. We're going to bring the four women, bi women, and we're going to bring the lead of Extraordinary Gentlemen. And we're going to have... We're going to have a dialogue. It's going to be a great dialogue. But with that being said, I'm going to leave my closing remarks, and I'm going to turn over to Ms. Diamond before we close it out. Like I tell everyone every week, you know, unapologetically be great. Embrace your faults and understand your vision. That's what I have to say this week. Diamond, what you got?
Well, that was short and sweet. I just want to tell everybody to be encouraged. Don't be afraid to put yourself first. And when you're climbing that hill and you're looking back to help somebody else, use discernment in who you're helping. Not everybody wants the help. Chump don't want the help. Chump don't get the help. That's all I got.
You're listening to one of New York's top syndicated shows, The Unconcealed Talk Show, featuring Mr. Nance and Diamond D.